You're listening to Show Me Your Mic, a show that interviews other podcasters about their workflows, gear, and thoughts on podcasting. Your host is Chris Enns, a podcaster who's hoping to learn more about the craft by talking to fellow broadcasters.
All right, hello. Welcome to Show Me Your Mic special edition. We'll still call it episode 15 just because that's easier to continue the numbering system, but it's a little different episode. I've got some yogurt and granola in front of me that I'm going to be eating because Tim Smith is joining me for this episode. He's co-host is the word I'm looking for, on another show, Too Lazy Blog, that we record here on sskTN.com, and he had pinged me about just asking some questions about my gear and all that kind of stuff that I use to record podcasts with. I thought, hey, why don't we just do this as a podcast, because that's what we do. We're nerds who like to talk about podcasts. Right. He also hosts his own show at the East Wing, soon to be moving to a major podcast network near you. And so anyways, that's my introduction for Tim. Hey, Tim.
Hey, I thought I was going to introduce you.
Well, I thought I didn't want to scare people away with your voice right away off the top, but introduce,
all right,
work their way into it. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is your show, Tim.
All right. So I guess I'll take it from here.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So there are a couple of things that I want to talk to you about in terms of your gear, because you obviously, run your own podcast network, SSKTN, which is a success and will continue to be a huge success. And I hope I can be a part of that, but I wanted to talk to you about your gear. And I also wanted to hear kind of your story into how you even got into podcasting, because I think that'd be interesting as well. And, you know, usually listeners of your network don't really get to hear that side of the story because you're usually interviewing other people. So why don't we start off with that? Like, how did you even get into podcasting? What attracted you to it?
Well, that's a good question. This is deeper already than I was prepared for. I'm going to have to set my granola aside. So if I die of hunger, it's your fault. I like a lot of people who do podcasting now. I think I was drawn in by listening to Leo Laporte do Mac Break Weekly, and then I found out about folks like Merlin Mann through that. And then I'd been following, you know, we talked about before we started recording, Dan Benjamin and his 5x5 stuff before it was 5x5, and when he was just doing, I followed him because he was a nerd who wrote cool stuff, and then eventually started talking to other nerds about stuff, and so I kind of paid attention there. And just kind of always wanted to do, I really liked that idea. I've been attracted to radio and voiceover work and all that kind of stuff related to that, and wanted to do something with that. And when podcasting came along as an idea, a thing that you could do, because I had, you know, it's one of those things where you don't really even think of it as an option until you see somebody else doing it. And the first podcast I did, I'm trying to get my chronology. I can't even say that word right now. Professional podcaster. I think the very first one I did was, there was a U2 fan podcast I did with a buddy of mine.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm trying to, just while we're talking here, see if I still have the domain up or not. But it was we helped out with a U2 website called U2log.com, and then decided we'd both try our hand at podcasting about U2, and it went for about, I think, 8 episodes, like most first time podcasts do. And right. But in the meantime, I also started this. I can't remember if the U2 one was first, or I also did one with my wife. I bugged her to just try it out with me. I said, you know, I really want to do this. Let's just try it out, because then it's safe. There's nobody else I'm involving that embarrass myself with. And so we actually did a Survivor fan podcast, which, because we both love the TV show Survivor. Here, I'm just finally finding u2log.lemonproductions.ca. So there you go. You can put it in the chat room. So anyways, one of those two, I can't remember which one came first, but did the U2 fan podcast, or Survivor fan podcast. I just really fell in love with the idea of talking about things you like and with other people who like the same things, sort of what the internet's all about, but doing it in audio form. And that's sort of where it started anyways. So.
Right. Well, it's interesting because you build websites, as do I. But it's interesting that your first podcast wasn't really about the web. It was just, you know, something that you happen to like.
Yeah. And that's actually, it's funny because I think maybe because I suffer from this a lot in what I don't know whether I call it needing to be more naive or being too self-aware. I don't know which of the two it is, but that idea of it felt like everything was already being done. So why would I do that? And even though there's, you know, even at the time, maybe there was 100 web podcasts, maybe, whereas now there's thousands. It wasn't my first thing. And I also kind of felt like maybe I wasn't enough of an expert to talk about it. And so, whereas U2 was something that I knew between me and Christopher Schmidt, the guy I did it with, we combined at least could be almost as knowledgeable as some super nerd fan. Although, yeah, we still ended up putting our foot in our mouth many times, but collectively. But yeah, it sort of felt like that's already being done and done really well. And so why would I step into that arena, I guess?
So you like we said before, you have this podcast network, SSKTN, where this show is going to be published. I guess my first question is, what motivated you to start your own network?
I think it was primarily born out of the idea that I didn't want to do, well, I'd started the one show with the U2 stuff and it was on its own domain, as you can see. And that was okay and it was good, but then I wanted to do this other show with the Survivor thing. And in talking with, I sort of went back and forth on setting up different websites for each site, but then, or each podcast, sorry, but then that became a headache to maintain the WordPress installs and plugins and all that stuff on different shows. And then if you're promoting one show one place, then you have to promote the other show at the other place, and do set up Twitter accounts and Facebook pages for all these separate podcasts. And so eventually I just thought this would be much simpler to just have it all in one place. And when I originally did it, it wasn't with any goals of, I think 5x5 was maybe in its infancy then. It was kind of looking more at Twit and just saying like, well, just put them all in one spot and that'll be easier to maintain, more so than any sort of like lofty goals of having a podcast network or whatever of shows. So, yeah.
Right. Well, and I mean, that's kind of what it's become, because you have a couple of shows right now. Some of them are retired. Colors and Code, Welcome to the Internet, Experts on Everything. Mm-hmm. But you do have three shows that are kind of updated regularly, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Lazy to Blog, Last and Lemon, Lost.
Yeah, I know, that's
and
a funny
Lemon and Show Me Your Mic.
Yeah, and that's Lost and Lemon is the one I do. That's a goofy one with my brother-in-law where you just chat, but it's just on hiatus right now because his wife had some surgery on her arm and stuff. And so he's not able to, just long story short, he's just busy right now. So,
right.
But yeah, that's even.
Is your plan to add more shows?
Yeah, indirectly. Like, I think the goal is to sort of see what happens with these, sort of focus a bit more than I have been in the past, where I've been a bit scattered, hence the shutting down of a couple shows where it just didn't make sense to keep doing right now in terms of scheduling and all that kind of thing. Or in the case of Experts on Everything, the co-host I had at the time just needed, her life got too busy. And so so they're sort of on hiatus or paused. And we've had discussions about starting them up again. Colors and Code is kind of a developer. That would be the web developer podcast if I had one. And the co-host that I work with there is also a guy I work with on my day job, and so we just, it's just timing and stuff like that. But it's a fun one to do as well, but again, just a lot of work to keep up and schedule. So as every podcaster, I think you sort of, I don't know, I've gone back and forth from discussion shows like Too Lazy to Blog, like what we just recorded a little while ago, where it's, you just show up, you kind of have a group of topics you're going to talk about and you can just sort of sit back and riff on that for a while.
Right.
And then the interview shows like Show Me Your Mic, traditional episode anyways, is me doing a lot of prep beforehand,
right,
and then booking a guest and scheduling and a lot of sort of beforehand work and just, you know, a lot of work, but you kind of get a different show each time and a different audience each time and stuff like that. So yeah, kind of like your East Wing, you know,
Right.
Doing that.
Yeah. And it's the interview shows are difficult because you have to do a lot of scheduling and not, you know, all the same times work for everyone. And I mean that we've had some issues with that on Too Lazy to Blog where, you know, we're not all at the same place at the same time. But it's more, I think it's even more difficult when you're trying to schedule a new guest every week. So you have three shows that are kind of like the main shows that are being updated kind of regularly. Lost in Lemon is a little bit on a hiatus right now, but soon you'll be adding new shows. And what are your plans for these other shows?
Well, to be honest, I don't have a I don't have plans. So, but in one aspect of what I'm doing, I guess, is you know, I have obviously those three shows we've talked about, and then there's also locally here, I live in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada, and there's some shows where I've sort of taken that interview model and just taken it to a local level of just interviewing folks from around here, and that's the show, the YXE, because that's our airport code here is YXE for Saskatoon. And so that's just interviewing interesting folks from around the city and area that I live in. And then, like I was going to say, the model of kind of what Dan's actually started to do with 5x5, where he's bringing in a lot of other folks that want a podcast, don't necessarily know how to do a podcast themselves or set up all the iTunes interface and all that kind of stuff. That's what Mom, I'm a Thespian is I have nothing to do with the show, as you may be able to tell from the cover art. None of those are me. But Heather Morrison is a local radio personality, and so she also hosts a show on a local public radio station in addition to her day job at a, what's the opposite of public, commercial radio station, I guess.
Right.
And just talking about drama and the arts and theater and stuff in Saskatoon here. And so she wanted a place for that online. And so I just said, hey, let's do it on here. And so I started a struggle, I guess, because someone who comes to maybe listen to Show Me Your Mic probably isn't, like if they're from, I don't know, Minneapolis or London, England, let's say, if Mike Hurley happened to listen to an episode of Show Me Your Mic, you know, he's probably not that keen on also then happening across Mom, I'm a Thespian, because it's probably not up his alley. But I also want to just do stuff that's interesting to me, and getting to people at a local level is as interesting to me as also the web at large. So that's the sort of struggle.
I think you're doing something really great with that, though, because my experience has been that with other networks, there are times where I will go for a particular show and then I just cruise, you know, their catalog of other shows. And I'll listen to one or two episodes, and then I'll be hooked on a new show that I didn't really think I would have been interested in.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So having a nice variety of shows like this, I think is actually a really good idea.
Yeah, and actually, it's something on the episode of, I guess, if you're listening live, it'll be out in a week. But if you're listening to this now, you've already listened to it because it'll be out. But the interview with Hattie Cook at 5x5, I think, either in the show or in the post show, we talked a bit about that of I got granola in my throat. What did we talk about? Like for you and I, like let's say fans of 5x5 or of Twit, let's say if you're you like MacBreak Weekly, to you, if you're a hardcore fan, you're aware very intricately of all the other shows that person does. So like 5x5, I'm very aware of all the other shows. I don't necessarily listen to all of them, but I'm very aware of a lot of the shows that Dan does. But they have, you know, in the thousands of listeners that they have, there's lots of people who just tune in for Back to Work and then never come back again to anything else. Even though there's lots of other great shows they talk about it, but they're completely unaware of Oblivious. They just subscribe in iTunes and that's all they do. And so, I think I'm with you. Like, I think it's okay. I like where Dan's going with having a variety of shows and bringing a variety of topics, kind of like your, almost like your typical radio station where you have, it's not just all one type of show, all your typical talk radio station, I guess, anyways, where it's always one type of show. It's not all political necessarily. It's a variety. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that makes for good, for a good, well-rounded network and has, a vast variety of different content. At least myself, you know, I've listened to a couple of these other shows and I've liked them. So, I think that's a good thing to do. But in terms of plans, you said you don't have any. So let's talk about let's talk about gear, and let's talk about how exactly, from a technological standpoint, you make this happen. So first of all, let's talk about how the website is powered. What do you run SSKTN.com on?
It's primarily run on a GeoCities domain, just using a bit of, front page, obviously.
Oh, and God. Then, let's stop this interview now.
No, WordPress, obviously, or fairly obviously, I guess, for anybody who can peek under the hood a little bit, it's not too hard to see that it's a WordPress install. The main plugin that helps, so like we talked about at the beginning, having one show is fairly easy to do with WordPress. You can take your feed,
yes,
throw your MP3 file somewhere on the page, post even, and iTunes will find that feed. I'm simplifying it a bit, but whereas, when you start having multiple shows, it gets a little more complicated. So let's see. The plugin that I use to help manage all that is the, where is it here? Yeah, Blueberry PowerPress plugin.
Okay.
And that does a great job of handling, so each show is its own category in WordPress, and then the Blueberry PowerPress plugin adds category-based podcast settings. So
right
where your typical, in the past, the other ones I've used anyways, they'll add podcast settings for the main feed, or maybe set up one other feed that's like purely for podcasts. Blueberry PowerPress one, and there's probably others, but this is what I said a lot, is allows you to set up each category. So Show Me Your Mic is a category, and that has its own podcast settings,
right,
so that I can develop that feed and iTunes titles and subtitle and then categories and all that kind of stuff for within iTunes and et cetera. Right. So,
and PodPress takes care of all the XML data that iTunes requires for a podcast feed.
Exactly. Yeah. And so,
so you don't run those feeds through something like FeedBurner.
No, and there's a couple that still do. I've kind of gone, I'm in the camp that says FeedBurner is not long for this world. And so when I redesigned the site and moved it all over about 6 months ago or so, I decided as much as possible, I'm going to ditch FeedBurner and just go au naturel, as it were.
Ooh.
I mean, right now, the thing I lose, obviously, is any data on subscriber numbers, because it's just
the
raw feed going out. But I figured it keeps it simple for me. And if a day should come where I need to develop something like that, then I'll be.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The FeedBurner statistics are not always all that accurate.
No, and that's exactly true. It was about to start happening that, like, Google Reader was still active when I decided to do that. But there's a lot of sort of grumbling about FeedBurner and how active it is and stats and stuff. And it doesn't really. To me, the important number is downloads, actual downloads, not just subscribers, because it fluctuates, as anybody who has run their feed through RSS through FeedBurner can tell.
So let's talk about that. How do you monitor downloads and statistics on your shows?
So that's where I use Libsyn. excuse me, the podcasting content distribution network service thing. Whatever. Anyway, libsyn.com. And that's what I use for managing and hosting just the MP3, the raw files that I send out as a podcast. So, and I vary depending on, so for anybody who's not familiar with Libsyn, if you're into podcasting, you've probably heard a spiel about it a bit every so often. But you basically, what's nice about it is you pay for storage per month, but once a file is past 30 days or 31 days, whatever it is exactly, then it doesn't count against your storage. So if you're on their $15 a month plan, which is 250 megabytes of storage, which doesn't sound like a lot if you're podcasting frequently, it works out okay, though, because you post a podcast episode on day one, that's 100 megabytes, let's say. It's a really long one. And then on May 1st or the following month, that doesn't count anymore towards your storage quota, but it still is there accessible. So I kind of thought there's other people who are using, I'm drawing a blank right now, the Google's.
Amazon
S3. S3, which I think we're using that. I can't remember now from.
Yeah.
So that's an option too, where you're always paying for downloads, but it's a minuscule amount per download, and the variety, you can sort of go both ways. I think
it turns out to be more money long term, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there are some months where I'll pay, you know, $70 to $100.
Yeah. See,
for bandwidth.
Yeah. Cause that would, that's where it's, it works against you to be popular, right? That's sort of what
basically, yeah.
Which is always the struggle with a lot of web based stuff is like, as soon as you get popular, then it costs a lot more. And that's kind of what I went with. I thought if one episode, even if it's like, I don't really need it for a lot of episodes where I could technically, you know, just host it on Dreamhost or whatever, and just throw an MP3 file up on a FTP somewhere. If at least one episode a year or whatever number I was playing with in my head is popular enough that it gets downloaded enough and I want it to be fast enough, and Libsyn is great because that's the, all they do is podcasting, so they're not worried about other stuff.
Right. Well, it's a lot faster download too.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, like the episode I did with Dan Benjamin interview, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people download that episode. I'm not paying anymore. I don't have to worry about fees going up just to have a popular guest on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit more about gear, but I also want to talk about the live stream. So right now we're streaming live. How do you make that happen?
Well, let's see, going from my mouth to your ears, which sounds kind of gross. So I'm talking to a microphone, a HAL PR40 microphone is what I happen to be using. It could be any microphone, but going into a mixer, a Mackie Onyx 1620i mixer. And
craziness.
Yeah, that's stupid. You don't need to buy it. I didn't need to buy it. I hope my wife never listens to this episode. Yeah, there's no reason really other than I like shiny gear, right, and knobs and stuff. You could certainly get away with what I'm doing with like a smaller, much smaller mixer and not even necessarily a big board like an NM Audio fast tracker. Anyways, but so it goes into there, and then the mixer, actually I have a couple of Mac minis that I use. So I have an iMac. I'll just sort of jump around a bit.
All right, but wait a second. Okay. Before we get there, let's talk about the live stream.
Right. Okay.
So how exactly do you broadcast the live stream?
Okay, so
I know you use an app, right, to make that happen. You also need to buy server space.
Yeah, so on the website of it, I'm using a service right now called Shoutcheap, which is a horrible, I mean, it is what it says, right? It's cheap and you can shout, I guess. came across them from Jeremy Fuchsa of the Cocktail Napkin, the Shakes? No, which one is it?
The Shakes now. Yeah, he's done with.
Forgive me, Jeremy, napkin. If you happen to listen. I even when I interviewed him, I had them both in my head. I kept getting them mixed up, which is not his fault for branding. It's great branding. It's my own brain's fault. But anyways, I came across that from him because it's what he uses for their live stream, and which I found interesting actually because he's on Mule Radio Network, which is, you know, a big podcast network, and they don't have any sort of unified system. Each show is sort of on its own to do live streaming stuff. But I digress. So their plans.
That's
you can
why
just
they suck.
I won't touch that one. The nice thing with Shoutcheap is you can sort of pay depending on the quality and how many listeners. So I think right now I'm on a 64-bit KBPS rate for 25 listeners or something like that. So it's cheap. And right now there's, well, six people in the chat room, including you and I, and maybe twice that listening. So I'm not paying for listeners that I don't have, which is kind of nice. And I can upgrade, you know, and downgrade per month, each month as it changes. So that part of it is there. And then working backwards from that, I'm using an app called Nicecast.
By Rogue Amoeba, right?
Yeah, which is a great app. It's weird in this day and age that it's a $60, I think it's $60 or $50, I can't remember, $59 for the app. And it's just funny because it's like a single purpose app for the most part, and it seems priced like twice what a lot of other apps would do, but they've got a unique sort of lock on the market, I guess, and do it well. So at any rate, that's me complaining about being cheap.
Okay.
So that takes the feed that I send to that Mac Mini and connects to the Shoutcheap server, and then you guys, whoever's listening live, can hook into that and hear what's coming out. That,
right.
Does that make sense?
And how do you exactly put this player on the live page?
Oh, let me just see. I can't even remember what I did. It's not as well done as what Jeremy's done, that's for sure, because I'm not very smart. Yeah, Interlock or somebody would definitely be able to school me on what I'm doing. It's just an audio embed that I've got with some code from them, so the IP address slash live or whatever, and then there's supposed to be a way that you can hook in so that, like, if I'm broadcasting live, what's nice about Showcheap and or Icecast in general is sort of the technology that they're using, if I'm not mistaken, and is that you could switch from a live stream, like what we're doing right now, to a pre-recorded kind of looping group of MP3s on their server. So I don't have to run a server on here to, like, you know, I know Dan, I think, does it locally on his, like, at 5x5. If you're not listening, then it's actually playing in iTunes on a group of MP3s, a playlist or whatever.
Right.
That he's actually streaming out the audio from his end. Whereas Showcheap and the other services probably like this too, but where Showcheap allows me to upload up to, I can't remember what it was, 200 megabytes or something of storage on their server that I can just have it playing over and over and looping when I'm not live. So on the off chance, for whatever reason, somebody hits the live page and wants to just listen to a random thing, it's there. So that at least it gets the idea across, I guess, that this is where audio happens.
Right. Okay.
So.
Yeah, I like that. the cool thing is that on the live page, you actually have something here that says server status and then live. And when it's offline, it says offline.
Yeah, and that's the part where if I was smart like Jeremy, I would have it automatically do that, whereas I actually manually go back because I can't find the whatever the little hooks into Showcheap that he's got figured out already. So there is a way to have it actually automatically, like, because what happens is when I hit if it's play or whatever it is on Nicecast, start broadcast on Nicecast on my Mac Mini here, then it just automatically interrupts whatever's playing and is supposed to, I haven't really tested this, someone who's listening maybe can tell me if this actually works that well, it's supposed to just stop. So if you're listening to a pre-recorded thing, it should stop it and then interrupt it with a live thing, right? Just like 5x5 does that. Other shows do that. And so it's supposed to do that. I've never tested it because I always forget to bother. But yeah.
Okay.
And I just go manually update the page and say it's live so people know. So sometimes, though, I have to apologize, is that it sometimes says live when it's actually not because I forget to go back and and update that. So.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, those are small things that can be fixed, I think. All right, so let's talk about the gear that you're using to actually record the shows and do the shows. You said before that you're using a Heil PR40, right?
Right. Yeah.
Kyle Roderick in the chat room wants to know if you're using a pop filter, or are you still going commando?
I haven't got what Kyle's referring to. I don't know if he was listening, but Dan, the interview I did with Dan, he gave me a real hard time for not using a pop filter. And I still haven't picked one up. Yeah, of course. Because technically the PR40 does have a bit of a built-in pop filter, but I end up, as a result, because there's nothing there, I kind of gravitate towards talking right up into the mic when I could actually be a little bit off the mic, sort of like this. And not get quite as bassy, and which sounds even worse because I have a bit of a cold. So, but yeah, I haven't. I just need to do another order of some gear to get a little pop filter in place, because that'll just keep me off the mic and then get rid of any extra little explosives.
Right. Okay, so you're using a Heil PR40. Dan gave you lip for not using an actual what's it called?
Pop filter.
Pop. There we go. Pop filter. Let's also talk about this mixer that you're using. And this is something that I had a huge question on. So I've wanted to upgrade my personal setup. Right now I have a Rode Podcaster. Basically it's just a USB microphone. I mean, it sounds pretty good, but I want to upgrade with a mixer and everything. Let's start off with this question off the bat. Do you absolutely need another Mac Mini to make the mixer work?
Yes, I think.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes, maybe, possibly. It depends, I guess. I hesitate to say yes for sure, because there's always some nerd who's done something with some software looping, hooking in, you know, because using things like SoundFlower, I don't know if you've come across that. It's a little app that you can run that basically allows you to sort of loop or direct audio within the machine itself to different places and things like that. So, but as far as I can figure out in the best way possible.
Right. So the easiest way is to just have a Mac Mini.
Yeah. Or some another computer.
Type of other computer.
Yeah. I debated buying just like a cheap Windows box, you know, $200 box or whatever, just to have on the shelf. But I ended up coming across some used Mac Minis and stuff, and it works. So repurposed those. Plus, they stack nicely. But I mean, you could find a Linux box or a Unix or a Windows box or whatever that you. All it needs to do is run Skype. That's the.
Okay, so and that's what I was going to ask you. So, you right now I'm talking to the Mac Mini.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So how do you do it so that, you know, all of that audio works? Because I've also heard that there's a problem sometimes with people hearing themselves back.
Yeah. So
I heard something about a mix and minus thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically within the mixer itself, I don't know how technical to go until I get out of my depth, but each channel on the mixer, the hardware of the mixer, each channel has, you can send it to a auxiliary send. So I can, I think up to four, that's why I went with the Mac, the 1620i that I did. You can send it back out to four different devices. So in addition to, like, I have headphones on where I'm listening to what we're talking about, and so I can hear you, but there could also be four other devices that could receive audio back from the mixer of whatever is going on.
Right.
And so that's where the Skype Mix Minus comes in, where basically, I don't know why they have to make it, I guess, yeah, it sounds like more complicated magic than it actually is, because it's just basically, so your Mac Mini comes into the mixer, and then I send you back all the audio except for your own voice, because obviously you wouldn't want to hear your own voice back, because it'd be delayed and echoey and confusing. And you have your own voice already, which I think.
So how is that possible? Is it a button you push on the mixer or?
No. So there's actually four auxiliary sends, S-E-N-D-S sends, that like pots or whatever they're called, turning pots. I forget what they're called on a mixer, but knobs. And I just choose. So of all the 12, 16 channels on the mixer, I want, you know, these 15, except for yours, to go to auxiliary send one, which is going back to your Mac Mini, right? If that makes sense.
Right.
It's hard to explain, I know, with audio, I guess. But, yeah, you can basically, then I could have, that's where I have, so I have a MacBook Air hooked up as well that just has audio sending out to the mixer. Right. And so I pipe that in. Let me just find something here for you. I pipe that into the mixer, and then I choose who, you know, I can send it to you, or I can send it not to you and only to other people. Right.
If we had more than one person on here.
Yeah. So I have another Mac Mini. That's the one I use for streaming. But if I really wanted to, I could have it sent another Skype account, so that, you know, if I brought in a third guest, like say Adam Smith on Too Lazy to Blog, he could be on his own Skype channel, so that audio wise, which gets
Adam Clark.
What did I say?
Adam Smith.
You guys aren't brothers? It's been a long day, Tim.
Yeah.
Tim?
I'm Tim.
So I know you have a thing for Justin Bieber. So,
oh geez, no.
So
turn it off.
That's where you can, I can play a YouTube video or a clip or whatever that we're talking about, and that could be playing. Come on, you want to sing along? I know you do.
I don't know that song.
Why are you dancing? No,
you can't see me.
Yeah, cut that off. Which that gets to one of the issues with the setup that I have. If I did want to do video, I can't really do that as easily as you could if you were just, you know, me and you Skyping on the same computer that I'm also recording on.
Right.
It'd be easier to do video if you want. So we don't have video running, it's just audio.
Okay, so let's do a little recap. So you have one Mac Mini that is that its only job is to run Skype.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have another Mac Mini that its only job is to stream the show.
Right.
To the server. Okay. Yeah. And this is on top of the actual Mac that you record the shows on, right? Because you're recording this in Logic Express on your MacBook Air or?
No, yeah, Logic Express is on an iMac. Older, it's almost a 5-year-old iMac now. That I'm recording with Logic Express. And up until I got, it's been a year and a half now, but up until I got my MacBook Air that I use for work, my day job, I would also just record. I would record and do show notes and, you know, whatever else, look up stuff and whatever on that iMac as well. And so technically you don't have to have it, whatever that is now.
So you have four machines.
Yeah, that are running here.
I'm told.
Yeah,
that are running.
It sounds okay. Weird when you say it like that.
So you, right now, how are you? Basically, you're doing the same thing to the iMac so that it receives all the audio, right?
Right, and that's all that is the mixer itself connects via FireWire to the iMac, so it's not an audio feed; it's a digital connection through FireWire to the iMac.
Right, and Logic recognizes it as an audio device.
Exactly, yeah. And what's nice about that, and the reason why I went that route, is if you've played around, even in GarageBand, you can see this too. All the different channels that I have on the mixer, the hardware mixer, are represented in software on Logic. So I could, if I wanted to cut out just the Justin Bieber section there because I thought I might get sued, I can just delete that track and not have to worry about editing out your track and my track and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, really? So it's not being recorded as just one single track.
Right.
It's being recorded as many channels as we're using.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the advantage
that
of having.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's where having each guest on their own Skype account, on their own Skype computer, that's what allows you to do that. Whereas, like when I record, I help record another show called Non-Breaking Space, which is with Christopher Schmidt, who I did the YouTube podcast with way back when. Anyways, just to bring him back, a little loop around there. When I do that one, we have two co-hosts, whatever, and then a guest, and then myself. And so I actually, we're just lazy right now with it and keep it simple and have all three of those guys, the remote guys or girls, on one Skype account, just a regular Skype group call, and I record them all into one track, and we kind of just take our chances that way, and then I just record the intros and outros on my own track.
Right.
But technically what I should build towards is, you know, actually another Mac Mini or two, and then I could actually have each person on their own track. Makes it much easier for mixing down later. If one person's dog starts going off or whatever, I can just delete
them. Right, 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 right.
So
right, like for example, when we do Too Lazy to Blog, me and Adam are both on the same Mac Mini though for now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's mainly because if I wasn't doing the live stream, I would flip that around and just put you each on your own Mac Mini, and then it'd be better audio, probably slightly better. I mean, it's debatable, but definitely more audio control for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, that you have a complicated setup. I'm glad we did this.
Well, it's not. Yeah, it's one of those things, like I was saying at the beginning, where I feel like everybody's aware of, you know, I don't know if you come across this thought, but I feel like, well, everybody already knows about insert technology here, like using.
No, not at all.
And that's often, my brain has that, I need to unflip that bit where it says, who cares? There's people who are new to this and that's okay. So anyway.
Yeah, but, I mean, I And this is the reason why I wanted to talk to you, because this type of stuff I have no knowledge of whatsoever.
Right.
Like the complexity of your setup, I have no idea how to do that.
And see, that's where for years, well, I don't know, probably for years, I would listen to folks like Dan and stuff, and even watch Leo Laporte and sort of the process he went through, like from way back when he used to have multiple Skype accounts, he still uses Skype, but multiple Skype machines and things before he got all this. I haven't watched in a little while, but, and folks like, actually a guy named Cliff Ravenscraft, who does a podcast answerman.com, where he makes a living giving advice on setting up podcast stuff, and not so much the network side, but individual podcasts
seen that show.
Yeah. So if you do a Google search for a lot of podcast, like how do I do this or that with podcasting, you'll eventually end up at podcastanswerman.com, because it's a little cheesy looking site, but he's knows his stuff. So
yeah,
and I'll just say before I'm just going to drop a link in the show notes and in the live chat I just had set up somebody asked from me for this a while ago, just a screenshot sort of thing, a map of the gear and how it's all set up and where things are wired and look going, so you can sort of see a visual, because it's kind of hard to see exactly or understand exactly where things are going. So I think it was Dave Rupert maybe to ask for that, but yeah.
This just makes me think that I need to stock up on a ton of Mac Minis.
Well, it's not a bad idea, especially if you see some used, like a college, or the main thing is, it needs to be Intel. It needs to be at least a little bit of able to support a Skype connection, obviously. And so,
right.
But the one I'm using for like the Skype connections is, they're looking at it right now, but it's actually funny because I think it's about a 5-year-old, it would be at least 5-year-old Mac Mini.
But it works.
Yeah, Intel Core Duo something. Yeah. And but it actually the of all things, the audio connection to the motherboard, the circuit board on it, is loose. And so I actually have the lid off of it. It doesn't have the cover on it, because the odd time, which is kind of silly for me being podcasting, like that's all I use it for is audio. But it's every so often I have to, if I move stuff around a bit, I have to go and like actually physically make sure the audio cable is connected properly on the motherboard, so that otherwise I don't get audio.
Nice. Now, you don't use any like compressors or external things like that. You don't have a rack like Dan does.
Dan's got a nice rack. That's all.
He does have a nice rack.
No, I don't. I should, like for the Heil PR40, especially this mic is very gain hungry, is what the kids say. And so like I have to have the gain cranked, which isn't great, and I have to have the levels all the way up and stuff like that. And so ideally I should have a not a compressor, but a thingy. I'm drawing a blank on it. Somebody help me out here. Anyways, what am I trying to say? The thing that boosts your signal before. I'm having a complete brain fart. I should have one of those.
Can't think of what you're trying to say.
Not a limiter. this is terrible.
We'll fix this in post.
Yeah, exactly. It's because I don't have it that I don't know what it is. Booster signal or thing. Preamp. Thank you, Interlock.
There we go.
Preamp is what I need to boost the signal before it gets to the mixer, because, yeah, just it would make things a little bit smoother, nicer audio going in. So I do that, obviously, in post a bit in terms of the EQ and stuff, but on Logic, right. But yeah.
But, I mean, to a certain part, I think you're one of the good people that just basically pushes out whatever is committed to tape.
Yeah, and that's both, I know, like, you and I were joking with Mike Hurley somewhere about that, or not joking, but talking about it. and it's both laziness and then also efficiency, and somewhere in between is where I lie. I like the idea of just sending it out, because what you hear is what you get. And that was even before I was doing live streaming, because obviously right now, if we, like, I had that empty space where my brain couldn't figure out what a preamp yeah. was. You know, some other folks might edit that and chop that out. And but yeah, I kind of feel like I like the humanness of it. I don't want to ever, not that I wouldn't ever aspire to be, but I don't aspire to be a super professional broadcasting person who can't flub up on air or anything like that. So that right. said, when I do edit shows like with Non-Breaking Space, because of the way that they're structured and they're doing sort of these interviews with folks, and when you have two interviewers and who are in different locations, it's difficult for them, regardless of, even if you didn't have a Skype connection between you, it's difficult to sort of coordinate two people asking questions. But you add Skype and then you can never really tell, okay, is this person waiting because they want to ask another question, or are they waiting because it's just Skype being weird, or are they waiting because they are done and don't have any more questions and they want me to ask a question.
Right.
So that one I actually go through, and when I'm, because I'm not actually talking on it too much, I can go through and drop markers as we're recording and say, this is where I need to go back and cut out a 10-second gap because they both brain farted or whatever.
Right. So. One more question on the mixer, and answer this honestly. Mm-hmm. Did you go with the 1620i because it had faders?
Well, you mean like that model as opposed to a lesser model? Is that what you mean?
Right. Right. Because I think the smaller one doesn't have faders. It has a whole bunch of knobs, and I refuse to use the knobs.
Well, one thing that I wasn't... No,
I'm buying a mixer, I'm buying the faders.
You're more of a fade, not a knob guy. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it didn't enter my mind that way, other than... I was mainly after the multiple channels. I didn't care so much how it looked, but just the ability to have, you know, multiple people on Skype and doing bigger interviews and stuff.
Right.
Multi-person interviews. The thing that I'll tell you, though, is that... the faders, because I would often listen to shows like, say, some of Dan's shows where he'd talk about riding the faders and adjusting levels and stuff. When you're actually recording, someone like Interlock or somebody else might be able to do a better job of explaining this, but the faders don't actually control what's being recorded to Logic as far as levels. The faders control what the mixer is sending out to theoretical speakers and things like that. Like if I had speakers set up in the room here and, you know, was listening to them.
Bye.
What I was kind of confused with at
so
first.
So then how are those levels being controlled?
Well, there's the gain control on the channel, which is a knob. So that's where you wouldn't like.
Darn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Interlock says, if you're in the chat, if you're routing via auxiliary, that would be true, which is what I'm doing. So the gain levels knob is what controls. I could dial that down, let's say, and turn my voice down so that both the recording and what you guys would hear would be different. But if I, what's being recorded doesn't actually affect isn't affected by the fader itself. So I think it's just like if I dial this down, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the faders all the way down. But I don't think anybody listening live can hear it. Was there a gap in my audio there? Anybody listening? Anyways, but actually, no, that wouldn't be true because that's sent via auxiliary as well. So
okay.
So the only person who couldn't hear that when I dropped the fader there to zero on my own track was myself in my own headphones.
Okay.
Oh, no, Kyle says it. I was gone. Okay. See, I don't fully understand what I'm doing. That's okay.
Hey. That's good to know.
But what happened was I would, the Skype, like you said, Tim, you could hear me. So I, going back to the Non-Breaking Space show, for the longest time, I would like, when I was done my little intro, and I was just sitting and listening and recording notes, I would drop the fader down to zero or hit mute, and then I'd like eat an apple or whatever. But they could actually hear me, and I thought they couldn't hear me, so I don't know. I probably like burped in the ear of some.
My question would be, how is it that you can actually control that though? Because I've had that problem too. When I'm recording, if I mute Skype, it mutes, it doesn't mute me in the recording. But if I mute from the recording device, it doesn't mute me on Skype.
Right. Yeah.
So like either way, I'm stuck.
Yeah, and there's, you can get in front of, on the line, again, like with a mixer, and I think there's some for the USB, like Rode Podcaster setups where you can get a mute switch, like a foot switch almost that you would use, not almost, it is, that you can use to have a kill switch, basically, so that you can cough or you can burp or whatever you need to do without having to interrupt anything. And then that way your recording isn't screwed up, and then also your guest isn't grossed out by your burp or whatever.
Yeah. I gotta figure that out. Now the mixer that I want to buy has 4 XLR inputs. It has 8 channels. Would you say that for someone like me that has kind of outgrown the Rode Podcaster, but is doing a lot of podcasting? Would you say that 8 channels is good enough?
Yeah, I think, I think the main thing you want is auxiliary sends. That's really what drives. So like, did you say which model you were? I was looking at the chat room for a second there. Did you say which model of mixer you're looking at?
Yeah, let me post that in the chat room here.
Because the 16 with Onyx or Mackie's mixers, anyways, the 1620i was the one that added 4 auxiliary sends. I think the 1220 is 3 or 2. I can't remember. And so it wasn't so much that I needed 16 channels, because that's crazy for what I do. It was the auxiliary sends amount. So like, Mackie Pro FX8. Yeah. So that's the Mackie Pro FX8 8 channel mixer that you're looking at. Listed for about $229. And where is the... Get some more details on it, sorry. This is exciting. Exciting audio for folks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to find out where the auxiliary sound details and stuff are, because that's what, really, like, for doing this, the ability to have different people on different channels, tracks, sorry.
Right.
That's what you need, is the auxiliary sends, because you're limited. Like, I could have, if I had a stack of 8 Mac Minis here, let's say, I'm still limited to just 4 individual audio feeds to send back, right? So that'll limit how many different people I could have, so.
But, I mean, 4 people on a podcast is usually kind of the limit.
Yeah, and that's where, like, if I had to do it again, I probably, at the time, I was kind of like, this is why I would advise waiting until you're further along before you invest something like this was a, I forget, $800 or $1,000 mixer. And because at the time, you kind of want to like prepare for anything, and you think, oh, I'm going to be doing all these crazy interviews. But then you get to actually doing those kind of interviews and you're like, it's a lot of work having 3 other people
right
on a show. Why would I want to do that all the time? It's much easier with just me and another person talking. And so, yeah. And even realizing that, like, with Skype, it's better than it used to be. It's good enough to carry on a tech kind of conversation, and people aren't going to be that fussy if occasionally Adam's, or yours or whatever, Skype conversation, it gets a little Skypey and robotic when you have to, like, whatever, restart Skype or something like that and carry on the conversation. It's not the end of the world yet, anyways, for me, so.
So let me ask you this question, and I know that this is getting more personal to my particular situation, but what I want to do is be able to kind of make the quality of the East Wing a little bit better than what it is right now. And with the show moving over to 5x5, I'll be doing the shows live. And I don't necessarily know how that's going to work out right now, considering that I don't have another Mac Mini or anything like that. But considering that, I do a 2-person show for the most part, and I just want to be able to hook up to whatever, live streaming service I have to with 5x5. Would you say that this mixer together with, maybe 2 Mac Minis or 2 Mac Minis would be okay for my particular situation?
Yeah, I think so. And I would almost, I know, I have talked with Dan in various situations, but I would almost double check with him that he might not just have you Skype in, and I guess depends on your arrangement with him, but Skype into their system so that you can just be streamed out live, and then maybe you record your end, they record your guests end, and then they're going to edit together. Or if you're doing the editing, then I would say, yeah, like I would go as minimal as you can. And even like, if you can't find a Mac Mini, get a Windows machine. I mean, it might pain you to do so, but just to keep it simple and cost down, because that part is, I mean, it's the unseen part. Like, you wouldn't know, obviously, if I had a $200 five-year-old Dell sitting under my desk or a brand new top-of-the-line Mac Pro sitting here, whatever.
Right.
Other than you'd hear the Mac Pro, maybe.
Right.
But, yeah, I would say go with, because the thing with, the reason why, I guess I can go both ways, because the reason why I went with this more expensive mixer is I figured, well, audio gear, there's always some idiot like me looking to buy way more than they need, so I can always sell it back if podcasting doesn't end up being the thing that I want to do. So, right. So yeah, that's because especially hardware gear, whereas like audio hardware gear, sorry, will hold its value, I think, anyways, for a while. And so, although I could be screwed with this one because it has FireWire input, which is going the way of the Dodo.
Right.
But anyways, I digress.
One other question actually that I had for you that I forgot to ask you is, you have these Mac Minis, but you don't have monitors hooked up to these. So how do you control them?
I with really small fingers. No, it's I use Apple Remote Desktop, which is okay. Apple's app for VNC connections. There's tons of other ones out there that if you're at all of a nerd, you can use to control a Mac remotely. One that I would recommend checking out actually is called Screens, where you can actually get an iOS version as well if they want. And it's, I believe it's still on sale right now. Anyways, it's $30, whereas Apple's Remote Desktop is $80. I had another client I was doing work for that I could justify buying it for, because it allows you to control a whole bunch of Macs at once and, you know, send software updates to all of them. Those kinds of things is what.
Nice.
And so it's nice that way for an office or IT administrative type position.
Right.
Whereas Screens, I think, is more of a personal use. I mean, it can still do some of those things, but you can use it to control your Mac. And yeah, use your iPad or iPhone to also control your Mac. So, yeah.
Okay. So we're approaching the hour now. So I have two more questions. What can we expect to see from SSKTN? You know, if this is the first time someone is listening to a show on SSKTN, you know, what can they expect to be happening?
That's a good question. I think the where it's going, I guess, and what I would aim to do with SSKTN is continue to build great shows, put out great episodes of the shows that are already there, and you know, with a slight focus bent on a bit of tech and a bit of design and the web stuff that occupies my brain. But like you can see with the shows that are already there, some of the extra shows like we talked about, Mama Myth Thespian show, you know, incorporating other folks, friends and stuff who have shows where I can just help them out by putting a show out there and letting them run with it. But just giving them sort of almost a safe place to put it out into the world with, to try it out. And so some of that, and then I'd really love to, and I'm working on sort of the strategy behind this, but just mentally working out the idea of, you know, building out membership and sponsors and just a bit of revenue for SSKTN. And it's something that I just don't come by naturally as far as, you know, asking or begging for money, so to speak. Right. And so it's something, but I want to do this more, obviously. And so if I want to do it more, I need to help pay the bills. And so, yeah, those are the two things. And in that vein, obviously, there's a membership page that I have where you can become a member of SSKTN. And right now it's just, there's no real perks or benefits other than the satisfaction of supporting me and the folks that I'm helping with it and doing more podcasting and helping pay some of the server and streaming costs and all that kind of stuff. That's really, it's not going to make any, I'm losing money right now doing it, obviously, when you look at it. So yeah, that's sort of roughly where it's going. Like I said, I don't have definite plans right now. We're kind of I'm in a bit of a holding pattern as far as shows and stuff, just trying to sort of sort out the Show Me Your Mic show actually sort of took off in a better way than I had initially planned and started getting bigger guests than I'd initially planned to have right off the start. And so just trying to sort out where to go next with that one. And then, yeah, having a lot of fun with the Too Lazy to Blog show where the three of us get to chat about nerdy stuff. So,
yeah. Right. So if people want to become a member, they can go to sskTN.com/membership. It's $5 a month or $55 for a whole year membership. You can do this. You can afford this. This is probably less than your venti coffee.
You drink a venti?
Yeah, of course. Wow. I always go venti.
And I will say
I'm a gentleman of a certain girth.
Right. You need more caffeine. I will say that I don't have any definite plans, so I can't promise anything, but I do want to develop something that I don't want it to just be a flat membership that you just, like, I respect folks who do that and it's fine, but I'd like to be able to offer some sort of additional perk and just trying to sort out what that might look like, whether it's something like Sean Blanc does a podcast it's a blog that he runs, but has an audio podcast daily that he does for people, which is kind of neat for what a podcast network might do, but you're already getting a bunch of podcasts, so you might not want more. Or like releasing shows early maybe for some folks, but that gets kind of messy. So,
right.
Anyways, well, I'm open to ideas, but also, I'm not promising anything right now other than more, jewels on your crown in heaven, I guess, for donating, becoming a member.
So a tradition on the show is to ask, what podcasts you're listening to.
Crap. I should know that already. And it's actually, well,
hey man, I'm just sticking to your format.
Yeah, no, it's good. Okay. You're way more prepared than I am for this show. I'll say too, the sponsorship thing too is another opportunity. If there's businesses or maybe you have a product or service that you want to sort of get in front of folks, that one is, again, going back to having multiple shows, that sort of gets complicated. So like, I don't know where to throw stuff and all that kind of stuff. Whereas I just had one show, it'd be easy. Just flat fee. This is what it is. So I'm working that out, but I'm open to suggestions and ears on how that might work if you have something you'd like to get in front of smart, beautiful listeners. Okay, so shows, podcasts I listen to. I subscribe to a lot. I don't listen to every episode of all of them. So,
that, by the way, that was just to kill time so that he could open Instacast.
Totally. And I'm stuck on Instacast too because I keep forgetting, or not forgetting, I just haven't gotten around to upgrading Instacast 3, so it's a little slower. Let's see. Some of the ones you might not have be as familiar with, I guess there's one from Authentic Jobs, which is Cameron Mall's service called Hired, where he talks to folks about their HR kind of, that makes it sound really dry, but it's a short focused podcast on hiring and work environments of neat web places. So it's kind of a neat show to listen to. Command Space, of course, it's it still says 70 decibels on my podcast, but it's 5x5 now. Let's see, what else do I listen to? Shop Talk Show, Chris Coyer and Dave Roberts.
Seeing all Command Space is really good too.
Yeah, it's a good interview show. I see all my shows in here that I'm not gonna I subscribe to my own shows just to make sure the feeds are working.
so do I.
I subscribe to Podcast Answer Man. Like I said, I don't listen to every episode. I just sort of pick and choose. Back to Work with Merlin, of course, I listen to. And pick one other one here. What else? Oh, there's a funny sports kind of show if you're into that is Jay and Dan podcast. It's a TSN network, sports network here in Canada. Although they're moving to the States now, actually. The ESPN. Or no, Fox Sports, I think they're moving to. And then the Sean Today actually one that I was mentioning. I'm a member of his service or his website, seanblanc.net. And he does a daily podcast that just kind of updates on what's going on and stuff that he's writing about. So there, those are the ones.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you for being on your own show.
Yeah.
And for sharing all of your audio knowledge with us.
Yeah.
I'm sure this will be useful to many people as it has been to me.
And yeah, if I've mentioned or referenced on past episodes, if maybe there's stuff we glossed over that you had more questions about, I think I'll probably do this, something like this kind of episode, maybe every 10, 15 episodes, whatever sort of gear, because the show itself tends to be a bit more philosophy of podcasting, not so much the actual gear, because there's only so many times you can talk about a mic, but
right.
But yeah, I think if you have those kind of questions, I guess sskTN.com/contact, hit the Show Me Your Mic show as the option and send in your questions. I'll keep a catalog of them and we'll do this episode every so often. So maybe even have Tim Smith back to pester me.
That sounds like a plan. Sounds fun.
All right. Well, on that note, I guess I have to close my own show. Eh? Thank you, Tim. Where can folks find you?
I don't think this is about me. This is about you. People can find you as iChris on Twitter. Please visit sskTN.com. If you find it in your heart to become a member, you can go to sskTN.com/membership and support the thing that Chris is doing at right here at SSKTN.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hire you to do the sponsor membership read. You do good. Anyways, and yeah, you can listen to previous episodes. This is episode 15, and so there's a whole bunch of previous 14, if you can do your math like I can. Previous episodes with a variety of folks. Tim is actually on one of those shows, and Dan Benjamin, Mike Hurley, who else? A whole bunch of people, anyways.
Adam Clark. Dave Rupert.
Smart folks doing all sorts of neat stuff with podcasting. So I guess on that note, thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Show Me Your Mic on the SSKTN Podcast Network. Follow along on Twitter at SSKTN or like us on Facebook.com/SSKTN. Be sure to visit SSKTN.com for interviews with other podcasters, as well as learn about other shows we produce, such as Welcome to the Internet, Too Lazy to Blog, and Lost in Lemon.